we go. Now we're live. I downloaded an app. I guess that idea came because I thought Carol and Bob were not going to be here. And so she wanted a copy of my notes. And my notes are for me only. And so I decided I would try that. But I could give a synopsis of what I was going to talk about. I am starting in James. I am, because of Memorial Holiday, I'm not going to give the introduction or the whatever to James this Sunday. That'll come next Sunday because of Memorial Weekend. But I also am going to use one verse of James, but two other readings also. I'm going to start with James 1:2, one verse. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whatever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I'm also going to read John and also 2 Corinthians a little bit. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 down to about 9. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether at home in the body or away from it. This is Memorial Weekend. We remember those who have paid the price, the highest price, the cost of their life for this country, so that we can live in the freedoms in the land in which we live in. For all the privileges we have, there is a cost that comes with freedom. The verse that I read in John, the greater love is this than to lay down one's life for one's friends, and also in 2 Corinthians. We understand the idea, or we should, about what the Bible means about how Jesus, one, died for all. We understand that is part of our theologies, that is part of our belief system. That is part of what we understand. Now, all we may dispute and argue about who all is within denominational differences, but nevertheless, we believe that the greatest love that God can show towards humanity through Jesus Christ, he died for everyone, all. He took away our sins, things that we didn't do right, or we can say a cause and effect action, or the interactions of events. He kind of zeroed them out with forgiveness, grace, and mercy so that we don't have to pay the price for our sins. But I want to look at the idea of one dying for a few. We don't talk about that as much as what I think we should. Yes, this is Memorial Weekend, and we are talking about one laying down one's life for one's country or for what one believes. Yes, the soldiers died for a large number of people that live in this country. But I want to boil it down a little bit further, and I want to look at to the individual, within the individual, or the start of one's actions, or health, or what we believe to be true, or what forms our inner thoughts. You are who you are because if you were not, someone else would be where you are. Let that soak in there for a minute. In other words, you are filling in a spot in which is good and is right. And if you weren't there, someone else would be. And there's a constant flow of this. Jonathan Edwards, I am told, explained this in a way, he used it in a different way, but he saw this huge tapestry. And God knows every possibility that ever exists. But until we poke our heads up through the tapestry and do what we do, then God knows for sure. But yet God knows every possibility that ever was and ever will be. But we are given a sense of choice to poke our heads up and decide in this huge tapestry of many, many possibilities. So I want to look at that as, if I do it, you don't have to. Now, I'm going to give some examples. I'll give one that just happened just today or yesterday. I went into town and I hit another deer with my car. There was two cars coming this way and I was going the other way. And there was rock cuts in between, and there was a deer. I came around the corner, the deer was over on this side, so I realized what was going on, I slammed on the brakes, he came across, and that was it. I had nowhere to go, the two cars had nowhere to go. Now, cause and effect. These other two cars could have been on vacation, and I hit the deer rather than them, because the deer ran just right across in front of them, right in the middle of the room. They could have just as well as hit it. So I hit the deer, and they did it, and they went on and had their vacation. Somebody was going to hit the deer. So I poked my head up and hit the deer and took on that so others could have a good time. That's a simple way of looking at it. I have another couple of other examples. We see that the spinner toy, them little spinner toys, we seen that? Fidgets? Okay. I should have consulted. I call it a spinner toy. But anyway, one of the parts came off and the child swallowed it and they had to get it out. Okay, so what happened as a result of that? Many other kids will be saved from swallowing the little thing that comes off. So one child suffered, so the many didn't. So we are in our position so other people don't have to. You take even people who die in motorcycle accidents. Well, just take that because that happened to be something that came up in my head. What happens when somebody gets killed in a motorcycle accident? Suddenly everybody says, ooh, motorcycles. I got to pay attention. I don't want to buy a motorcycle. Da, da, da. The effect of what happened to one person ripples down through. And so it is a giving of one, laying down of one's life in a sense, so others do not. Huh? Nah? See, she says nah. No, it's not a matter of intention. So I can only do it intentionally? A soldier who goes out in the field who is going to intentionally give up his life? Kind of, because that's what he's standing up for. Oh, so he's as well as dead then, right?
No, he's not as well as dead.
Oh. Well,
you're
I don't...
You're not going to win, so...
Huh?
You're not going to win.
Okay, I will let that one go. It's not an excuse to stay where you're at, just like any new idea. Some people like it, some people don't. Or a different idea. It's not an excuse to stay where you're at because we start out young, we change through time. So you can't say, woe is me, this is my lot in life, I'm going to stay here and this is what I'm going to do. I'm not saying that. These things move along the way. Now, I did run this idea past a pastor friend of mine before I stood up here and spoke this several months ago. But seeing how Dan had just lost his wife, I'm a little reluctant, and I'm going to say it, and I hopefully don't mean to upset anybody. This pastor friend of mine lost his wife when she was about 60, somewhere about. He's 83. We often talked about why this happened. And I suggested to him that she gave up her life so that he could live longer. Now, that's an interesting idea. I don't know how that boils down. I think that's a great love and a great appreciation of somebody, maybe not knowingly or consciously, but I think this happens. You're going to doubt that, too.
Well, why would she give up her life? How does she know he will live longer if she gives up her life?
How do you know she don't?
Well, how do you know she
don't? I'm not going to win the argument with you. I knew I wasn't going to. That's why I didn't even talk about you on the way over. Yes, Dan.
Whose idea is this?
Well, it's an expanded idea that I have from laying down one's life for another. Now, I understand, I'm not saying that you have to accept this idea, but in Memorial Weekend, what are we doing? We're remembering people who sacrificed their life. So, can't we boil that over down into our individual lives? Well, is everything intentional? Is all our lives intentional?
So you're saying everything's planned and happened. Just
no,
Just not certain ones.
No, even in this scenario, not everything is planned. I'm not saying this is fact and this is what happens. Because if I take Jonathan Edwards' idea about the tapestry in which we have the choice, so it's still a choice. Like, you know, but God pokes it, you poke your head up through and you decide what you're going to do. And then God knows what you're doing. This is a theological argument. That's a real theological argument there. I knew I was really going to get out on the edge on this one for sure. But nevertheless, I wanted to share it with you. I thought there'd be a small amount of people probably and see what you think. I'm not saying that I accept that totally. But there has to be some kind of something in this world that makes sense. Is it all just happenstance? So then is everything just happenstance? See, I don't think that everything is.
You know, I mean, nobody says I'm going to go out and pay a year to send somebody on vacation because you don't need somebody on vacation.
I'm only trying to get mean.
Give up. Give up. It's going to be a long ride home.
I'm glad I'm leaving the truck just as soon as I get home. I'm not saying it's planned consciously. I'm saying behind all the scenes of everything, there is this flow of unconscious actions and thoughts that we don't have control of, but yet happen.
No, but we don't because another person has, you know, actions and thoughts, and sometimes you're just in the middle of their actions and thoughts, so, you know.
And that's just all happenstance?
Well, kind of, in a sense.
See, I'm not exactly
because
sure that.
Just doing something over here, and you have no clue of it, you just have to go through it.
And that's all just happenstance.
You didn't plan it out in a way.
No, it's not like you sat down and said, this is what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go here and there. No, it's a subconscious spiritual realm in which exists, all things exist. Well, what Jonathan Edwards has said, everything is predestined to happen. We just don't know exactly when it's going to happen. Huh?
Or how.
Or how. So, but we know it's going to happen. Every possibility is going to happen. No?
No?
Okay. All right. Well,
sorry.
I guess I blew that one, that's for sure.
It just sounds like someone's back as you hit a deer in the car.
I missed the dude, so I got across before I got there. So,
well, I guess it.
I'm the one who missed you. Hit.
Yeah.
Your choice. Your next, not your choice, your chance.
So in the balance of all things happening, I hit you. You missed. Isn't there a balance scale of things happening? A right and wrong balance? You believe in karma?
Yeah, that's
cause and effect. That's cause and effect, is it not? You're saying that if I do something, there's an automatic effect to it.
Yes, but you just make it sound like somebody's marveling to do this, that, you know, Ty's wife said, I'll die so you can...
No, I'm not saying that she consciously said this. I think at the time, I think she had health issues and what have you, and so she may have said, okay, this is my time out, and so out of that, he got to live longer. I'm just saying this is a possibility. People, I see that as someone, if that's possible in the subconscious and in the spiritual realm, then isn't that the greatest love that one someone can do? Okay. I will plant that idea, and as all ideas, they have to take root. And I knew when I was going to bring this up that there would be problems. There's no question about it. So don't think I'm thinking that you would have sucked it up like a sponge and said, yeah, Calvin, you're right.
You didn't talk it over to your wife first.
No. No. I have talked to Ty Sabell, who is a disciple minister who I meet with once a month, and I did run it by him. And he didn't know if he liked it or didn't like the idea. But doesn't that explain why things happen to otherwise good people? Doesn't, in context of the verse here, we're saying, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials of all kinds. So can't you move that idea now over to what James is saying here, and Paul says it, and the idea of suffering joyfully? So if you have a cancer or something like that or whatever, you're having it so other people don't. I have heart disease. I don't have diabetes. I don't have none of that other stuff. So.
Yeah, there's other people who have it, though.
Oh, yeah, I understand. There's a whole host of people who have it, and there's a whole host of people who don't, and it goes on and on and on. There's all kinds of variables in this whole thing, this whole big Jonathan Edwards tapestry. There is a zillion different possibilities. But I still say there is a connection between those who have certain things and those who do not. And I think, so is James only talking about what is the trials of all kinds that produces testing of your faith, which produces perseverance? Now you explain to me what that means. Does that only mean in the spiritual realm, spiritual ideas? Or does that mean daily ideas in which you go through?
I would think in context, he's talking about the persecution of the early Christians.
Yes,
see,
that is true.
And that he's saying rejoice in these because you're being...
Okay, I'll go on with that idea. You're right. He was referring to the time in which they were being persecuted. Okay, so these early Christians were persecuted, so now we, today, do not get persecuted in this country in which we live. Isn't there a connection back through?
We do. People do still get persecuted.
Not in this country, we don't.
It depends on who you are.
Huh?
Depends on who you are.
Well, in the Christian... Okay.
There's still religious persecution. economy in the country.
Yes, but we live in relatively freedom compared to a lot of countries. Now, come on. You have to agree with that. Now, isn't there an extension back through time with all the Christians? We are built on the top of foundations of people who have suffered previous to us so we can live where we are. Look at all the people, soldiers, that gave their life in this country so that we now can live in the freedoms we have. Okay, so by extension, we are living on top of their deaths so that we can live in freedom. They paid the price so we can live in freedom. Yes, I think it waxes and wanes. Okay, so I'll give an explanation. We'll see where that goes. We're close to the end. I'm not gonna suffer up here any longer. My trials and tribulations and my perseverance is gonna give out. I think like you take like. The terrorists and all this kind of stuff that's going on. So the further the distance between the right and the left go, the more expansion that you have and room for terrorists and war and what have you. The more divided people become, and the further distance apart they are in differences, the more you have the chance of violence. And that's where we are. We're way out. Just in this country, the left and the right is so far, I mean, there's a vast. We are divided 50-50 pretty much, one can say one way or another, but we are very evenly balanced as far as, on the left and the right. We're in a very precarious position. We're not mostly this or mostly that. So the further and further we go out on the extremes, doesn't that answer why it waxes and wanes? Well, we haven't gone that far, that's for sure. I guess I'll just, just keep right on going to the end and fall over the cliff. I understand. The psalmist talks about how the earth and all that is in it is going to be eventually worn out. And it's going to be rolled up like a worn-out garment and thrown away. I think at some point in time, I'm going to fall off the cliff again. I understand that. I think at some point in time, all possibilities have been done. And the wounding of the tapestry of coming up and doing and the actions that come up and that are real, eventually this tapestry that we call living life gets wore out. Genetics, genes, what have you, eventually it can't produce no more. Or it gets to the point where it's wore out. Now, if you study genetics and genes, maybe you might see that part, but eventually what we call what sustains our physical life, and it will eventually get wore out. We know that. If you study genetics, you can only take two people and have so many offsprings, and eventually that wears out. So rather than thinking that the earth is going to get burnt up, and which you brought up today about the sun burning out at some point in time and we're going to have a supernova and all this kind of stuff, which is true, I think life will be gone long before that because we have worn it out like an old garment. And all that is will be done away with. Also, I want to say, just because one thing happens doesn't mean the opposite has to happen too. There are things that happen that there is no opposite to. That it simply moves up and up and up and up, keeps going. That is not the your knowledge is supposed to increase. There's no opposite to that. Once you have knowledge, how did you say you don't have knowledge?
When you get Alzheimer's or something.
See what I?
Alternative
facts. Huh?
Alternative
facts. And I took the course in an argument, there are things that are not opposites. That you, in other words, you don't have to have opposite. In other words, just because something is true doesn't mean the opposite is true in order to prove that which is true and that which is not true. Did you follow that one?
No.
You don't have to, just because something is doesn't mean that something is not in order to make it real. Just because the sun rises doesn't mean the sun has to set. Of course, it doesn't do that anyway.
But then
one rising
just
being. Let's see, what else did I. Oh, yeah, that. So, if someone can answer, again, what I understand the trials and tribulations, but perseverance comes from, I think, living your life daily. I mean, I have to. We're living our life in a daily sense. We have many different things in our physical reality that we have to deal with. Each one of us is different. I think we could probably all agree with that. I'd like to get a little bit of a sense of agreement out of this. We are all different, right? We all have different things that bug us and drive us crazy and things we like and appreciate. So then we each have... we can say we have trials and tribulations in our daily life. Can we not? Or do we have to simply say what James says, what was only in context of a religious expression? Can't we expand this idea of perseverance to our daily life and find joy in the spot where we are at and say, I am here, you are there, and we have joy in that part of it, and I'm doing, and I'll refrain to say before I fall off a cliff again, what I was, but I think there is a connection. I don't have any, don't want to go any further than that. And the idea of no marriage in heaven, that we will have a new type of body. I think we will have, in which there will be no reproducing. There's no marriage or giving in marriage in the next reality. So this idea of genes and genetics will be done away with, and we will live forever in a new body, in a new form. We will not reproduce life, as we know. No giving in marriage. Wow, I do get a nod on that. Wow. So, it's a new form. And so, I, in context of what James is writing, yes, we are to be patient and persevere, because in the end, we are going to die, and we were going to experience a new life, a new body, and a new form, and live eternally after. And I think that's all I'm going to say today. Thank you for your patience. I understand sometimes I do get a little